and makers. 26 Erie Avenue, across from the Narrowsburg Union. Some-ware.co. From the Jeffersonville Farmers Market, every Sunday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., next to the Jeffersonville Bake Shop on Main Street. JeffersonvilleFarmersMarket.com.
Welcome once again to the Local Edition News and Information, keeping you connected in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. And tonight we'll be learning about Porch Fest. Porch Fest is coming up in Calicoon. We'll be speaking with the organizer of Porch Fest and one of the performers that'll be playing. Two of the performers, actually. That's coming up in the second half of the program. First, well, here we are. It's almost the end of September. School is back in session, and some schools in Sullivan County have already seen some positive COVID cases. And just today, Governor Kathy Hochul announced 120 new hashtag vax to school pop-up vaccination sites that will take place across New York over a 12-week period as part of the vax to school campaign to increase vaccination rates among younger New Yorkers. As the school year marches on, what can we expect to have some input on this to gain us some insight on the school year so far and what will come next? Radio Catskill's own Patricio Rubio spoke to Stephen Walker, joining us once again on the Local Edition. Patricio spoke to Stephen Walker, Sullivan West School Superintendent, about how the school is going so far and what the future looks like. Here's that interview.
We're off to a terrific start in Sullivan West. We couldn't be more pleased with the professionalism of our staff and the support and responsiveness of our parent community. It's going to be a great year for the Bulldogs.
Recently, the state has issued new requirements for those staff members and teachers who opted out to get vaccinated to be tested weekly, and also making a push to have students vaccinated. What information are you getting from Albany?
We get very regular updates from the State Department of Health as well as from the State Education Department on what our responsibilities are as a public school district in New York State. And we're working now with our County Department of Health and with the other districts in the county to acquire the number of COVID tests that would be necessary to ensure we're in compliance with this requirement, and then to go through a procedure where we're providing opportunities for unvaccinated staff as well as unvaccinated students eventually to be tested on a regular basis.
So the testing will be done on the school site?
That's our plan right now, yes.
I know before the state issued their new regulations, the school districts had taken upon themselves to implement their own safety protocols, you know, according to the CDC and the current New York State public health guidance. Can you go into what things have you put in place? I'm sure masks and social distancing are part of it.
Absolutely, yeah. We've implemented what we're calling layered mitigation strategies, starting with each staff member before they report to work in the morning are required to fill out a daily health screener, an attestation that they're not experiencing any COVID symptoms. All faculty, staff, students, and visitors are required to wear a mask in our schools at all times, with the exception of when they're eating and drinking. And we've also put into place a system where social distancing of at least 3 feet, whenever possible, is the expectation in our classrooms and in any of our other spaces in the building. And of course, we're in regular communication with our school nurses and the state and county department of health that if there is ever a need for any contact tracing, that they advise us as to how best to go about doing that.
Now, I know in the statement that was put out before the school year, it was stated that everyone will be in-person instruction. Now, if there's a parent or student who comes to you and says, I'm too scared to go to school because of this pandemic, I'm scared to get sick, is remote learning an option for them?
Remote learning is a possibility for students who have a diagnosed significant underlying medical condition, and that documentation then gets provided to our administration, and a committee convenes with the parents of that student to determine what's most appropriate for that student's learning. But to answer the question about whether or not a remote option is available for a parent whose child doesn't have a medical condition but just feels anxious about sending them, no. We expect all students to attend in person every day. And so far, our parents and students have been very supportive of that.
Right. And I'm sure, God forbid, there is a breakout. the school would have no choice but to go to remote learning, much like Fallsburg did recently.
Yes, and we certainly have made plans for that, as we did on several occasions last year. If there was an instance where we just needed to contact trace a significant number of our staff and we couldn't safely and adequately staff the building due to the number of teachers and other staff in quarantine, that might be an example of when a school would have to administer its remote learning plan for all students, and we're prepared to do that. Thankfully, we haven't had to yet, but we're prepared to if we need to.
With this push from the state to have more students vaccinated, do you have a sense of how many students already in the district are vaccinated?
Not yet. We're going to be reaching out to our parent community when we have begun our testing protocols and have them well underway for staff. We'll be reaching out to our parents and letting them know that there's an option for them to have their unvaccinated children regularly tested. We certainly know that all of our students who are 12 and under are not vaccinated. But I do not, as we sit here today, have a good sense of how many of our students 13 and over are vaccinated.
And those numbers will dictate the new initiative by the governor, Vax the School, where she's creating pop-up sites for these schools where they're in a district that have low inoculation rates of the vaccine. So I'm sure that if those numbers come out and the district, Sullivan West, is low and the area is low vaccines, maybe New York State could set up a pop-up site in the area.
We'd certainly be happy to support that and even to host it. And we hosted a vaccination clinic at our middle and high school last spring on a couple of occasions, and we'd be happy to collaborate with the state or the county departments of health to make that happen again for the western part of our county. Absolutely.
And you mentioned before that you're in regular contact also with Sullivan County Public Health.
Yes.
And has Sullivan County Public Health provided any guidance to you?
They've been terrific all the way along for the past 19 months or so. Nancy McGraw and her team have been wonderful. Nights, weekends, anytime that I've needed to speak to them or our school nurses have needed to reach out to them, they've been incredibly responsive and have given us quality information, knowing that it changes all the time. They've been a terrific resource for us.
Now, I know the school year has just started, and we have, John, just gone through a horrible year last year with the pandemic as far as students goes and the school year with remote learning. And now we're heading back into school year with all these new regulations, such as mask wearing, social distancing, changing of class sizes in some instances. And now with, some schools already, like I said, are seeing positive cases. There is that fear of when will it happen to our school district. Having said that, what has been the reaction you've seen from parents, students, and staff members about returning back to school and being in the building back to in-person learning?
I think there's a lot of feeling of gratitude among everybody to see school returning back to as close to pre-pandemic school as it should be and as it can be at this point. Kids are back in school every day. They're experiencing all of their elective classes, all of their extracurricular activities, all of their specials. They're back doing what we want them doing and what hopefully they enjoy doing, which is being around each other, learning, having fun, laughing, and enjoying time in Sullivan West schools. So the response has been very, very positive.
And we hope that continues for the rest of the school year.
Agreed.
We've been talking to Stephen Walker, superintendent for Sullivan West School District, about the new school year, the new regulations from the state, and what the school year might look going forward. Thank you again for joining us and letting us know what's going on.
Thank you. Great to speak with you.
For Radio Catskill, I'm Patricio Robayo.
You're listening to the Local Edition, local news and information that keeps you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. And if you want to make sure that you never miss an edition of this program, it's a daily show, Monday through Friday, right here on Radio Catskill. Every weekday evening at 6:30, we're here bringing you this program. But if you happen to miss it, remember, we're archived online at WJFFradio.org. And even better, you can sign up for the Local Edition podcast from Radio Catskill, wherever you get podcasts. So look for the Local Edition, wherever you get podcasts from Radio Catskill. Following that interview, and thanks to Patricia Robayo for that interview, talking about schools and COVID locally, let's get the latest info on COVID-19. From Sullivan County Public Health, the dashboard got updated just a little bit late today. What are we seeing? We're seeing that the number of those on quarantine or isolation has ticked up a little bit since yesterday. There's just three fewer active cases than yesterday, so that number has gone down. Death toll, thankfully, has not changed, and the number of hospitalizations has gone up by one. So all the indicators were down yesterday from the day, from the end of the week last week, and now we're seeing some of these numbers starting to tick up again, and that's often what we see in the week. We'll see a drop off over the weekend, and then the numbers start to come back up. But again, the number of active cases is down again slightly today. We hope that trend continues. So 174 active cases that we know of in Sullivan County, 481 on quarantine or isolation, 7 in the hospital, and 2 patients are in the intensive care unit. The number who've completed their vaccines in Sullivan County now totals 37,627. So on the way towards 38,000. This is Radio Catskill, and we're keeping you connected.
What's up, Radio Catskill? Greg McVicker here, putting you on the guest list to join us for a laid-back music party that we call Undercurrents. It's a mix of exciting new tunes with some old favorites and lots of other songs that you forgot that you knew. We go across all genres, and don't worry about it. It just all flows together. I'll bring the music, you bring your ears, and we'll do this. Undercurrents.
Monday through Thursday at noon.
And this is Radio Catskill. We're keeping you connected and taking a look at the weather right now. And wetter weather does seem to be on the way. There's a slight chance that it may rain tonight. More of a chance that it'll rain tomorrow night. So cloudy this evening. A few showers may develop on the late end. Overnight low around 60. Cloudy tomorrow. Slight chance of a rain shower in the afternoon. High near 75. And it's going to be very cloudy, increasing clouds as we head into the night tomorrow night with occasional rain showers. Overnight low down to 65 tomorrow night. So a little bit wetter, a little bit warmer as we move into tomorrow and tomorrow night. Stay tuned. Our next guest will be up in just a moment right here on the Local Edition.
Thank you for all the ways you help WJFF Radio Catskill. Your support sustains the news, music, and local voices that make up WJFF. It's only possible because of your generosity. Help keep it going. Consider signing up to be a sound supporter to make sure Radio Catskill has your constant support. Go to WJFFradio.org. And thank you for supporting public radio in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. WJFF Jeffersonville.
Public radio for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. Radio Catskill.
From river to river, mountain to mountain, keeping you connected.
Donna Fellenberg here, and this Saturday on Catskill Character, my guest will be the magical Sasha Graham. And we're going to be talking about the experience of sending your only child off to college. How do you deal with all the emotion? Sasha will share her experience, and although she's magical, she's got some very down-to-earth thoughts on the subject. That's Catskill Character, Saturday at 11:30 on WJFF.
The Radio Catskill Community Awards, September 30th, honoring our healthcare heroes for making a difference, for putting the well-being of others above all else, for staying strong in these unprecedented times, including Nancy McGraw, Sullivan County Public Health. Join us at Calicoon Hills, September 30th. Ticket information at WJFFradio.org. The Radio Catskill Community Awards, honoring our healthcare heroes.
Welcome back to the Local Edition, news and information keeping you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. And coming up in the Catskills, right over in the town of Calicoon, continuing a tradition that started in 2019. That's when the town of Calicoon organized a tribute to Woodstock. 50 years is the big 50th anniversary here in Sullivan County. And just 12 miles away from where Woodstock happened, they called it Porch Fest, with musicians performing a festival on the porches of Calicoon. Well, it's back this year, and on the phone with us right now is the organizer, Irene Nicolai, and two of the musicians, Camelia and Odetta Hartman, and they're going to be telling us what to expect this weekend. Let's start with Irene. Hello, Irene. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for having me.
So this is the first question, the most basic question for a music festival called Porch Fest is, will the musicians actually be performing on porches? I mean, I kind of said they were, but I guess
yes,
I shouldn't
they
assume.
Yeah, Calicoon is amazing. It has the most amazing historic porches. We've got, you know, the Calicoon Brewing Company that will have musicians there. The Western, you know, will also have musicians. And then we have the most beautiful historic train depot right in the center of town, where we have a full schedule of musicians from 12 on all day. And also further on up Main Street, there is a beautiful building that was bought and renovated recently, 44 Upper Main, and that will have an art studio as well as musicians there all day.
Okay, and that sounds great. And again, there's just with the Western there and the hotel, like, those are massive porches just right there. Porches,
yeah, balconies. Definitely.
Yeah. So
the town is beautiful. I mean, it looks like an old Western postcard, and it's right on the river. So it's a beautiful location for listening to music all day. Mm. So we're really happy to have all these musicians participating. So far, we have almost 50 for over 2 days.
Were you involved with planning the festival or organizing a festival in 2019?
Yes. That was one of the first ones we organized because of, you know, the Woodstock 50. We figured we should do something to celebrate that event. And, you know, because we were so close to Bethel, we decided to do something for that weekend. So it was really great. It was really well attended. People came from all over. And really wonderful first event, and we decided to continue it.
But of course, you know, last year nobody could really continue much. did anybody actually end up doing anything for Porch Fest last year, or was it a total break?
No, we all took a break, you know, because of, you know, COVID, obviously, and, you know, because this event is centered outside, we figured we could host it again. People could just wander around and, you know, listen to wonderful music. And, you know, we have a lot of musicians in the area, so, you know, a lot of the musicians are local and regional, so it's just incredible, the outpouring of interest from the musicians and the local businesses, for sure.
Right. So also joining us, and we, of course, and Irene, did I say your last name correctly, Nicolai?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we were talking to Irene Nicolai, who's organizing the Porch Fest, which is happening this weekend. But also on the line with us right now, we have Camelia and Odetta Hartman, two musicians who will be playing this weekend. Hello, Camelia and Odetta. How are you?
Hi. Thank you so much for having us.
Can you tell us? Hey there. Can you tell us a little bit about your music and what people can expect if they find you on the porch?
Hey, so my name is Odetta, and I'm here with my sister, Camelia, and we are two classically trained violinists who have turned an ear towards the more indie folk world, and we have grown up in Sullivan County and in Lower Manhattan, and we're just so thrilled that there is this infusion of creative energy in Sullivan County. We're longtime listeners of WJFF. Woo!
Oh, wow.
So this is very exciting for us, and we're so thrilled that we got to connect with Irene I actually went into the Western a couple of years ago and was so inspired by the ballroom space and asked if she would ever be interested in doing some live music. And she said, well, I'm doing Porch Fest. And so my sister, my brother, and I, we did a little performance on a purple porch, the first Porch Fest, and it was so fun. So we are going to be kind of manning the fort down at the depot on Saturday.
Yeah, at noon, right? You're on the depot stage at noon, right?
Exactly. So we're going to be playing from noon until 3, and we have our own sister string outfit. And we are also bringing up some other friends from Brooklyn and from other parts of upstate New York. Through COVID, we have been developing a community space called the Ladybug Barn, and it's just turned into this kind of healing homestead and art space, and we have this burgeoning community, so we are so excited to bring some of those friends over to the depot. Yeah, we've been doing a couple of shows at the Western this summer and are so grateful to have had the chance to perform outside in that sweet little beer garden. And, I mean, we have musician friends who are just dying to come to Calicoon. So we're filling 3 hours with some of our favorite singer-songwriters, spanning kind of folk music and some psychedelic rock.
Can you give me an idea of, like, what's the, and you've got this Sullivan County connection, which is amazing. Or what's do you perform regularly in other places? What are the types of venues you'd be more likely to play than a porch or a train depot?
Well, porches and train depots preferred over everything, really. But we both perform all over New York City, in really all kinds. I mean, we've both played in a lot of different kinds of groups, so there's not really any venue that's off limits for what we do. And Odetta has toured internationally. And yeah, we'll play wherever people invite us to play. And we actually, before our last Western show, we just did a little warm up on the train tracks to try to draw people to the backyard.
We had like 6 fiddlers.
Yeah, and it was really one of the we've played many different stages, and I mean it when I say that space in the middle of town had a very special magic to it, so we're really excited to get back there.
Did somebody put a picture of that on social media? I think I saw a picture of you. Now yeah. I know who I'm talking. Yeah. Yes, okay, I saw that. All right.
Well, that's
good. So, yeah, but, you know, when you play on the train tracks, just don't lure people onto the tracks.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
But what else? Well, so that's great. Well, thank you for checking in with us. Irene, is there anything else that folks need to know about Porch Fest and how it's going to go? Is there anything that people need to bring or watch out for?
Well, we'll have a map that's going to be posted on social media in the next day or so people can look for that on Facebook, Porch Fest, as well as Instagram. We will have programs printed day of the event that will be available to see all the musicians' names. So it'll be really fun. People can just mosey around, visit the shops, visit the bars and the distillery, the brewery. You know, I think Calicoon is, you know, really lucky to have all these amazing new businesses in town. And, you know, the idea of Porch Fest actually started in Ithaca, New York, and it was all about, you know, bringing community together. And I think it's really exciting that all these musicians are donating their time and everybody's playing for free to bring people to the community, which has, you know, actually suffered a lot through COVID with, you know, all the regulations, and we're really happy that a lot of the businesses have been able to sustain through all the problems. But yeah.
Okay,
thank you, Jason, for having us on, and
yeah.
And we love JFF and everything that you guys do there.
Well, that's good. And just like, let's just remind people what the days and times are. I actually saw 2 dates. Are you doing something the night before as well?
Well, the main day is Saturday from 12 to 10. There'll be music all throughout town, and then Sunday is another day. Then people can also see musicians on the depot as well as the brewery. Rafters has amazing bands always on Sunday. They have a beautiful open mic where musicians can, you know, perform. So so Sunday it's going to be 12 to 6, and Saturday 12 to 10.
Okay, that's
great.
That's
the 25th and 26th. This coming weekend.
It'll be here before you know it. I'm sure you'll be glad to see all the hard work you've done come to fruition. So thank you so much, Irene Nicolai, for organizing Porch Fest and taking the time to talk to us about it. And thank you to Camelia and Odetta Hartman for being willing to perform Porch Fest. You'll be on the Depot stage noon. Thank you so much.
Thank you
so much for having us.
All right. Have a good night. And I guess you should say a happy Porch Fest, too. Okay, that's going to do it for the Local Edition, local news and information that keeps you connected in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. You want to stay tuned. Kusar Grace and Music Emporium is going to be up right next. Don't go anywhere. WJFF Jeffersonville.
This Week in This American Life.
For hospital.
Hello. A man makes a request that goes against both company policy and human nature.
You know the music you have, the holding music? When you put me on hold, it plays it. Could you do that for me for a minute?
Loving the music on hold. No kidding. And other stories of being stuck. This Week.
Saturday at 6 on Radio Catskill.
Support comes from Rourke Law, Liberty, New York, a general law practice serving the Catskills and Delaware River Valley with an emphasis on estate planning, estate administration, elder law, and real property matters. RourkeLaw.com.